Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. You know, I asked my spirit guides, what are we going to talk about today? What should I discuss? You know, I've been back on the air, less than a couple of weeks now, and I thought, let's kind of go back over what I did and how I got where I'm at, what services I offer to people, and what I like to do, and what I've done in the past, all that sort of thing. Okay? So, we're going to talk about that. I want to tell you a little bit about my history, how I got into my spirituality, as it is now, and the modalities I practice, and all that fun stuff. Okay. And maybe some of it will align with what you need help with. And from my early age, from very early age, I recognized that I have a really good empathic ability to read people. I did that, you know, like as a teenager, we'd get together in these groups, and I always read people, you know, always, and then didn't really too much of it at the time, but I did it, okay? I thought about it. But at that time, I was involved in a very conservative Christian faith, and it was partly because of my mother, okay? So I kind of went along with the program, and I was kind of being groomed for one or two things. Either I was going to be in the ministry of the church, you know, Sunday thing and all that fun stuff, or maybe even a traveling minister that travel from place to place and visit the different churches in the system. Either that or a missionary, okay? So that was what I was groomed to do. So I studied the Bible and other religions, you know, because of all the various Christian and other religions, but mostly Christian religions at the time. Why am I saying all this, right? Why am I saying all that? Well, partly because it leads to where I'm at right now. But even as a teenager, I had some what you would call mystical experiences, you know, that other than the empathic ability to read people and kind of sense what's going on with them, you know, with my friends, and just, you know, that was kind of cool insight. But also, I would look at a wall, and the wall would quiver and shake and move, and it was like I was seeing into the actual what it really is, the vibrational sense of what it is. Now, I didn't understand that at the time. I always thought it was kind of fun and trippy to look at the wall and see it kind of move around and move back and forth a little bit. I had no idea. You know, maybe I drank too much beer. I don't know. So I kind of put it in the back of my mind, and I had some other really weird dreams, reoccurring dream. And I have to tell you, this reoccurring dream as a teenager scared the wheeze out of me, just absolutely scared me. Because I see this spiral, and the spiral kept going in, and at the very end of the spiral was a bright light. So it was like I was sucked into this light, and then I would wake up and I would freak out. I don't want to go to the light. You know what it meant. No idea what it was about. What's that light all about? Why am I having this weird dream, you know? Maybe it was, again, too much beer as a kid, right? Too much beer. Yeah, I drank most of the beer. Not much wine. Besides the point, yeah. Beer and popcorn was my thing. Okay, that's just distracting myself from what I wanted to talk about. So, I was about 19 or 20. And I was doing a ministerial program, and I was doing what they call pastoral counseling to a couple that were coming out of the drug culture at the time. This is the late 60s, early 70s, 1970s, that is. And I remember saying something to them, and afterwards going, where did that come from? That was me. Where did that come from? So let's speed forward a few years and not spend a whole lot of time on that one. I'm trying to get into where I came from and who I'm about and why I do what I do, right? So let's speed forward a few years, got married. Still kind of church, but not really in the church because I was studying some other things. And then I started to read these books on metaphysics and spirituality. And I started to attend a New Agey channel type church. It was called Astara. This really groovy bookstore. A really groovy bookstore. I remember going into the bookstore going, wow, this feels like home. It really feels like home. And around that time, I started to meet some people who are the same mindset as me, or the developing mindset. And that morning, as I was starting to read this material, being more engrossed into it, I came home from work. I was an accounting manager at the time because I went back into business and took accounting and business principles and worked as an accounting manager and controller, depending on the size of the company. So I had this voice yell inside my head. I mean, I heard it once after that, but it was pretty loud. It was like inside my head, this voice yelling at me going, heal the planet, save my people. Now that set me off on a whole different tangent of life. What is that all about? Why am I doing all that? Some of you have heard this before. I'm just kind of going back over it because I want those who don't know much about me to realize where I came from and what I do. So let's go a little bit deeper into that. So I started to explore environmental causes. I said, well, it's environmental, it's the planet, heal the planet, save my people, has to do with saving the planet. And, I kind of went down that path, but also at the same time, I was introduced to some ideas about channeling, a book on channeling. And I thought, I wouldn't do that. It was like, you ever read something and you go, I can do that. I want to do that. That sounds like I want to do. So obviously, after reading the book, a channeling class opened up, Synchronicity. I ate some peanuts in my throat. Get some water, maybe I'll let it go. I took this class. It was about 8 weeks. And we channeled and we studied and we worked on it. And eventually, I started to get connections to spirit, to this, my spirit guides. And, over the years, they've developed very different spiritual guides based on the idea of vibration. About the same time, I started to study shaman practice because I was fascinated by shaman practice. I was fascinated by the rituals of shamanism. One of the things that stood out to me, like really jumped off the page, was the whole idea that everything is vibration. Just like it struck to my core of truth, everything is vibration. Even rocks are a vibration. I'm not probably not going to be able to take any calls today because I'm just doing an overview of who I am, how I got where I'm at, and what I do. So, not to be rude or anything, but in 20 minutes, if I have about 15 minutes, I can take about maybe one or two calls if there's time left. But I just wanted to present this stuff. Who I am, what I do, and so people, if you align to what I do, that'd be cool. So I studied channeling, and I started to developed a relationship with a spirit guide and spirit guides. It was kind of fascinating over time, not that led to doing psychic work, but also some interesting channeling, like, you're going to believe this? I don't know if you want to believe this. You ready? Hold on to your hat. Channel aliens. Ooh, not space people, like from other planets. That was really strange to say that. I've been reading a book on Palladians, and visiting the Earth. And so one night I decided, well, I was with my ex-wife at the time, to try to channel an alien, and I did. Now, the energy was different. When you channel, the energy comes in softly. Usually they introduce themselves to you, and it feels comfortable to take in a presence. A spirit guide or a teacher. But the alien, a little different. It was like, bam, like, dropped right in. Like, wait a minute, this is weird. So I remember I don't remember too much about this time, what the alien and was talking about basically their, where they came from to some degree, what they look like, their purpose on visiting planet Earth, what they wanted to do with us, all that fun stuff, right? Fun stuff. So that's why they were there. So I thought, well, that's kind of fascinating. They didn't give me a name, which I could never pronounce again. Kind of twisted my mouth around a little bit. I guess I'm really going through this. Seems like I'm going way too slow. I'm trying to get from where I was back then in 1990 to where I am now. So, but I studied various modalities, things, the shaman practice, the channeling, and that led into studying hypnotherapy and taking a course, a year course in hypnotherapy to become a clinical hypnotherapist. Now, that was fun. I enjoy that a lot. But I didn't like the traditional hypnotherapy, the weight loss, the stop smoking, things like that. That didn't interest me. Because I like doing past life work, taking people to past lives, or as I learned later, to take people in between lives, take them home to see what its experience would be when they pass. And so that was fascinating to me. So I've done like hundreds of past life regressions and some between life regressions. It's one of my favorite things to do is past life regressions. Now, tying in my intuitive abilities, my psychic abilities, my mediumship abilities, you call it, I started doing past life readings, just picking up where a person was in a past life and how that affects them now. Because really, the point is, you have a past life or two or 3,000, right? But they have some meaning in your life now. It's just entertainment. Well, it is kind of, sort of, but it's not really meant to be pure entertainment. It's meant to help you understand your life now. Like, what are you bringing forward in this life, and what didn't you accomplish in a past life? And some of the fears you have now, like fear of water. Well, maybe you got shot down in an airplane during World War II or whatever, and you drowned in the water. Yeah, just that sort of thing is kind of interesting. So I got to meet people who did very similar things and friends. That kind of evolved into doing that sort of thing, doing past life regressions. Then I thought, well, I'll study another mode, because after I started channeling, I started to pass a lot of energy out of my hands. You know, people go, well, could you help me? You know, could you put your hands on me? But I knew energy. Excuse me. So I took a Reiki class. I was attuned to the Reiki, and I've gone through all the different process of Reiki up to master. It was about energy. But what I found really fascinating to do in the Reiki thing was not so much put energy into people, but pull negativity. Like a certain part of the body would be hurting, and I would put my hand on, and it would be like I was pulling out this energy that was causing physical harm to that person, physical pain, pulling out the pain. Let's just call it pulling out the energy that relates to the pain. Now, to me, that was like cool stuff. Wow, that's really great. I love doing that. That's one of my favorite things to do. You put energy back on there. You could do a chakra testing and align the chakras with the crystals and all that sort of fun stuff. I was doing it at a bookstore metaphysics center for a long time, and it was a good part of my life. I did that for that sort of thing at that center for years. I really enjoyed it. So I'm going to go through history here, and I'm going to tell you what I love to do. So I love doing that. Now, it's a little different where I'm at, because most everything I do is on the phone, but I can still do, let's say, Skype or other things. Will align people's chakras, help them to align their chakras. And we could talk about that. So it was the past life work that I love to do. And also the channel. And I do channel now, but some of it on the radio, but a lot of it is in writing. I write through channel material. So that kind of pulls us, it's pretty close to where we are right now and what I do. So I'm only about halfway through the show, so I want to call in about 5 minutes if you're still listening. I'm just going to cover where I'm at right now and what I do. So, why did I get into mediumship? Why did I try to be, why did I want to get messages from dead people? Because I kept getting these messages and doing reading, psychic work. I found that if I could give a message from somebody's grandmother or grandfather or aunt or whoever who's passed on the other side, that it was kind of much more effective than my spirit guides, because they know your energy. They know who you are. And I'm amazed at the messages I give to people from their ancestors, how relevant it is to what they need, what their life is about. I mean, it's funny because they're very outspoken. Your ancestors are very outspoken. You know, the people ask me, what about this relationship? What about this man or woman in my life? What am I going to do with them? And it's happened to an ancestor. And they were pretty stressed, or like, but kicking the curb. I mean, well, it almost will be that, but sometimes they'll say, no, this is not the one. And it feels comfortable doing that. It feels really comfortable. So I love doing that. I love giving messages from the other side, from ancestors or famous people. I'm channeling famous people. I guess mediumship and channeling are pretty much the same thing. So that's what I like to do. I like to do that. Now, let me back up a little bit. A little bit further back, and just about the time I was studying working for the metaphysical bookstore, I discovered the law of attraction, the secret. Remember this movie, The Secret? That's kind of old now, isn't it? It's been out there for a long time, but I discovered it, and I thought, well, this is really cool, manifesting what you want in your life. Now, some people took it as a very material point of view that you can manifest anything you want, and it's kind of greedy in a way. I think there can be that, but it's more about an alignment, how you align with source energy, the divine energy, how you can align with that energy to bring things into your life, whether it's a relationship, whether it be money, whether it be a career. And just to sidetrack that a little bit, discuss that a little bit. I think this is really valuable and really important. Because when I do readings for people, I want to kind of make that reference to the law of attraction, that how the energy we put out into the universe is what we get back. Does that make sense? What we put out into the universe is what we get back. Now, if you have a positive attitude, if you have a loving attitude, that comes back. So it depends on our attitude. It's our consciousness, our thought process that we put out there. You know, I'm going to reverse back a little bit back in time to when I was in the business world. I read a book on creativity in business, and the authors were professors of business at, I think it was Stanford, one of those big time universities, right? And they talked about the collective unconsciousness, and then if you have a problem, you put it out there. I got a problem. I want this and this. I got a problem. And you let it go. Now, this kind of really corresponds to the law of attraction, which I read many years later, which is really the same principle. You turn it over. You got a problem. You give it to the universe. You give it to God. And you get out of the way. Because our life is about feeling good. So that was the point I got out of that. Our life is to feel good. Constantly wanting to feel good and surrendering problems. I call it being in solution mode. Solution mode is letting go of a problem, turning it over, and waiting for a solution. In the book, it talked about, go play golf. Office, can't work it out, get away from it, and the answer will come to you. So sometimes the answers come in various ways. That word synchronicity comes into play. So some various ways you get your answers to what you want, okay? So that brings us kind of current. So I like to do that. I like to help people work with them. And that's part of the life coaching, how to manifest what you want. And same thing with relationships, how to make the relationship work. Because doing readings in other aspects of life, I've probably dealt with thousands of relationship issues. And it's And the answers I get are from school, of course, from workshops that I've gone to about relationships and my constant reading about relationships. But even more important, it's what my spirit guides say. I give it to them and let them comment on what's ever going on in your life, your relationship issues. And so I'm channeling information. Now, they may be picking my brain for things I've read or studied or certain aspects of relationships. So I enjoy working with people on their relationship issues. Not so much, when will we get married? No, it's about how do you get to that place? How do you get that relationship to that place? It's all about how do you get to that place? How do you manifest it? Okay, that's cool. How do you manifest a relationship? But also, how do you get this relationship to get what you want out of it? Or can you? Are you on the same page? Sometimes you can't. Sometimes, and part of it is like, no, it ain't going to work. No, your relationship is not going to work. Your relationship is not going to work because you're too different. Now, sometimes one of the things I found out about relationships and men and women who are completely different in some ways is how we look at life and how we address life. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on that because this is really more of an overview, but how introverts and extroverts, masculine and feminine, interact in a relationship, and how certain characteristics of a masculine introvert is much different than, let's say, an extrovert female. Who they have that balance between them, but there's a big contrast there, and especially the extroverted female will get really frustrated by the introverted masculine male because he never open up. He won't share. She's always sharing, trying to share things, talk about things, and he doesn't open up. So how do you deal with that? Masculine, feminine dynamic that's really important here. You need the masculine and you need the feminine balance in a relationship. Sometimes they're right down the middle where they both kind of show a lot of both masculine and feminine, but that's the smaller majority. It's usually the very, very masculine attract the very, very feminine, and usually the extrovert and introvert kind of. So you can be very feminine and be introverted and very masculine and extroverted, but the ones I seem to be running into are the masculine who are very introverted in nature. And how do you deal with that? How do you cope with that? That's one of the big issues that I've dealt with in relationships. How do you understand that and deal with it? And how can you build a relationship around that difference? Or can you get so frustrated that you give up, throw your hands up in the air, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this anymore. I can't take it. You can't talk to me. And it's really funny because a lot of these men and women have been together for years. And they still, he doesn't communicate. I don't know what he wants. But I'm not going to get into how you can get that, resolve that issue. But that's one of the things I do. I like to talk to people about relationship issues and where my spirit guides are, where your ancestors are saying this is going, and what you need to get to where you want to be. Again, how do you attract what you want? So I tie in the law of attraction a lot with what I do. In my channeling, my spirit guides your ancestor back to past life. I'd love to do that. So what else do I like? Healing part, I really haven't done much of that lately. I really enjoyed it. Well, I had the opportunity, maybe sometime I could have an office and be able to do that for people. Maybe not at this point, but it's kind of interesting. Modality. Now, one thing I've learned about all this is you have to focus. Anything you do in life, you have to focus. You have to focus on one thing at a time. I mean, it doesn't mean over time you can't try different things in your life, experiment with them. Doing what you do, you focus. You focus on one thing that you're really good at, and it gives you a great deal of satisfaction to do. What brings you bliss? What brings you the greatest joy in doing? So for me, at this point, it's probably past life regressions. That would be a great deal of joy. I love doing that. It really helps people. I like to talk about relationships, especially if I'm communicating with my spirit guides or your ancestors are giving you information, either past life. It's really more about how do you get what you want in life? That's what turned me on, is how can you get what you want in life? How do you get there? We're all confused. Now, right now, in society, it's, well, when is this going to end? So I'm not the traditional psychic in the sense of, oh, in 3 weeks, you know, I've done it, and I do it all the time, but I prefer to get to how you get where you, what you want, because I believe we can get what we want. We can really get what we want if it's within our capacity to get that. You know, my spirit guides are bugging me. They're like, George, why don't you let us talk? So I'm going to go away. I've got about 4 minutes left in the show, so I'm going to turn it over to my spirit guides. So I'll be back on Thursday. I'm not sure what we'll talk about. I'd go into a different topic. So I want to throw this out here, see what you think. If there's anything that sparks interest, you can contact me through here. Or my email address is there. You can contact me that way. So, okay, so I'm going to give them a couple minutes. We commend teachers. We commend teachers and spiritual teachers for the ability to give people. That's one of the driving forces in your universe or your planet, hope. Without hope, you don't get where you want to go. Without hope, unless you can see that light at the end of the tunnel, you're not going down that tunnel. You're not pursuing anything in your life unless you know, have hope that you can get there. Because hope will lead to opportunities. Hope will keep driving you forward, pushing you forward, knowing there's an answer. Knowing that there's something you can do to solve the situation, always hope. If you get discouraged and you get negative, you give up, then you're stuck. Then you don't get solutions. And the point we're trying to make is you want solutions to problems. Maintain the attitude of hope. Maintain the belief that there is a solution to every problem. And that the universe, God, whatever you call it, George has got something stuck in his throat. That universe, source, God, whatever you call it, will give you a solution. That hope will brighten wide open, become more and more open, and hope will turn into solution. So that's what we try to present to you, that if you have hope, if you have a belief, somewhere there's an answer, somewhere there's a solution, that's what you on the road to solution. Because then you can turn it over. I believe that there can be an answer to this. I believe that there can be a solution to this. So you turn it over. You give it to your spirit guides. You give it to your ancestors. You give it to God. You give the problem. Now, this is a little bit what George was talking about when we emphasize the importance learning how to let go and give over. We won't talk too much about it. We only have a few seconds, but part of it is raising your vibration, getting out of a negative state, getting into a positive state, and hope helps you stay in that positive state. We would want you to move into appreciation and gratitude for things in your life. That even gets you into a higher vibration place, vibrational place. And if you can live from a place of kindness, displaying kindness and love to others, then your vibration doesn't align with the divine nature. And if you can stay in kindness, you can stay in love, the vibration of love. It becomes easier and easier for you to manifest whatever you want, to find solutions to all problems, because you're in alignment with the divine nature. So another comment, think about hope. Apply hope to your life. Always. And raise that vibration of appreciation, gratitude, and love. Thank you. Okay, done. Well, they do the timing. I'm eyes closed. I always do. I'll be back on Thursday. I'm not sure what we'll talk about. If any questions, any topic you want to discuss,